Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Glenn Stoner, Ron the Show, Hughley back with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. And we are joined by 12-year NFL vet, former Houston Texan. You hear him all the time on Sports Radio 610, Wade Smith. Wade, I know you listen to Tip Kelly. We heard from him for the first time, the not just play or offensive coordinator, but now the play caller for the Texans. Did you hear from him overall the feeling that made you believe he is actually going to be the one taking the play calling from Bill O'Brien?
There was nothing that he said in there that made me think that Bill O'Brien wasn't giving him the full reins. Now, the question is he going to keep the full reins? And so if he has success early in the year, then you don't have to worry about Bill O'Brien stepping in and taking back control of things. I think Tim Kelly is the offensive coordinator and he's a play caller, and that's how they're going to approach the season. Bill O'Brien is going to have his input like he's had in the past, but it's not going to be to that same level. He's going to allow Tim Kelly to do his thing. And the thing is, if he has success early in the year, then you don't have to worry about Bill O'Brien kind of putting his hand back into the pot and trying to get involved. But if he does have some struggles early on in the year, and there's going to be some tough games to start off the season, I wouldn't be surprised one bit if Bill O'Brien got himself back into the mix.
Wade, what about one thing he mentioned, man, specifically on two different occasions was the offensive line, which I, as an old quarterback, I greatly appreciate. Obviously, as an old offensive lineman, you can get down with it. All five offensive linemen returning, going through camp together, all of them in a Texans uniform more than a week before the damn season starts. I mean, those are all huge parts of what's going into this season with this offensive line, man. Your thoughts on what that means specifically, all five offensive linemen coming back, how does that benefit the Texans?
It's a huge deal, and it was refreshing to hear Tim Kelly allude to that fact when he was doing his press conference, because there was a time when that's been kind of downplayed over the past few years. Bill O'Brien, I remember we've talked about it on various times when I've been on there, just various people talking about how important the continuity is on the offensive line. And I've heard Bill O'Brien over years say, oh, it's not that big of a deal. Those guys have chemistry, this and that. But I think that was more of a situation where he was trying to downplay and not give anybody excuses for things going wrong. But it's vitally important that offensive lines have time to work together in a gel. And I was listening to you the other day, Clinton. You were talking about the fact that when you look at it last season, Laramie Tunsil came a few days before the first game. Titus Howard missed time during training camp. Nick Martin missed time during training camp. You had guys playing. You had Max Sharp and you had young guys playing in a bunch of different spots and then finally coming together. I mean, think about it. Chantrell Henderson started the season. Kelamente started games. They had people all over the place. And so now to come back this season with all five guys, you know who the starters are going to be. They had time to go through the battles and figure things out. It's a huge deal for offensive linemen. You can't name a great offensive line or a damn good offensive line that didn't have time to work together. And when I say time, that's seasons. That's 2-3 years together. And so I'm looking forward to see the offensive line for the Texans get better this season.
Wade Smith with us, my former Texan, 12-year NFL vet, Wade Smith with us. I was saying, like, this is a big deal not only – that you get them all back all five of them back another year, but that they're also really, really good. Like, this is a group of players that are good, and you get the continuity. Who, maybe even Tunzel included, who do you expect to take a real step of the five in this group?
If I had to choose one guy that's going to make the biggest step, that's tough. I mean, because I expect Titus Howard to have a hell of a year this season. I expect him to do well. I expect Mark Sharpen to be a better player. So I'd be remiss to not mention both of those guys in the same breath. I would expect both of those guys to take huge jumps in their second years in the league. And then Tunsil, I expect him to minimize a bunch of his penalties that he had last year. And so that's going to overall make the group better.
Wade, what, talk specifically, man, about this offensive line and how good you think they can be. I know, and we were having this conversation earlier. By the way, we were having this conversation earlier about the best Texans offensive line, and I don't know the 15-year history or however many years they've been doing. I know that's 15, 16, somewhere in there. But you're, correct me if I'm wrong, but your years here, you'd be hard-pressed to find a better Texans offensive line than what you played on, you were part of, right?
Yeah, I think that's pretty well known around these parts.
Well, I just wanted to establish that because damn it, when it comes to O-line play, I mean, you're the go-to. There ain't no doubt about it. So being part of a great offensive line like that, when you see this team, this offensive line, the way it's coming together, do you see potential down the road this being a really, really good offensive line and maybe even being as good as you guys were back a few years ago?
Yeah, I think they have the talent. They've invested what you need to invest in it to where you have a big-time offensive line. But the thing that they have going against them and the thing that they have to get figured out, and maybe the Tim Kelly involvement is going to help with that, is when you are – I've never heard of a great offensive line that didn't have an identity. And when I say an identity, like when you think about the Cowboys, everybody knows what type of run game that they had and play action. They had an identity. You knew what they are. You think about the Broncos lines and the Texans lines over the years, you had an identity. You think about the Hogs, all those type of lines in the past, they had identities of where they were going to be. And when you go game plan offense and it's week to week, it's very difficult for you to be great. You can be good. You can be damn good. The Patriots had some damn good offensive lines over the years, but I'd be hard pressed to say that they had a great one. Now, you don't have to have a great offensive line to win a championship. And at the end of the day, that's the most important thing. Like, can we figure out a way to win a championship? But to put them in the category with, you know, the 2011, 2012 offensive line of the Texans, they're going to have to come up with an identity and be something. Because when we walked out each and every week, we knew we're going to do this, and you're going to have to prove to us that you can stop us. And it was very rare that teams could do that. And whether it was running the ball or throwing it, we knew that if we lined up and did what we were supposed to do, you weren't going to be able to stop us. And we had that mentality, and we backed it up with our play. And so for the Texans, I think it's tougher to do that now because they're so multiple and they're so week to week. It's difficult to get to that point, especially when they do things that so much check with me at the line of scrimmage. There's a lot of, you know, get to the line and you don't know exactly what the play is going to be because you're basing everything off of what the quarterback sees as the defense gets lined up. And so that makes it hard for them. But when you look at their talent level, you look at the fact that Laremy Tunsil is a big-time left tackle, you look at the fact that Max Sharpen played last season as a rookie, got all those starts under his belt, and he's a smart guy. I think his physicality can start playing more, and he can start, you know, bringing that more into play going forward. I don't know what they're going to end up doing with the right guard spot. I mean, you're hearing rumors about Warford. If they were to get Warford on the team, that's an improvement at that spot. But Zach Fulton is a solid player in his own right. Titus Howard, very, very high on Titus Howard because I thought that Titus Howard could be the left tackle. So now if I'm telling you he's good enough to be your left tackle and now you put him at right tackle, now you have a situation like the Eagles where you have a guy like Lane Johnson playing right tackle when he could have been a left tackle. You see how good their line's been over the years. So the Texans have – they have the talent to do it. I don't know if they necessarily have the scheme to do it, to get to that level, but they do have the talent and the scheme to get them to the point where they can put themselves in the picture of being good enough to win a championship.
12-year NFL vet Wade Smith, former Houston Texans. You spoke of Larry Warford. The general John McClain has been speaking, continuing to say that the Texans are interested in him. Sounds like you would think he would be a good addition to add if you were making decisions with the Texans.
Yeah, he's a better football player than what they have at the right guard spot now. And so if you're a GM, you're always trying to figure out ways to improve your roster. Apparently, from what I'm hearing is, you know, what he would want is very similar to what Zach Fulton is going to get. Now, that does mess with your continuity. That does mess a little bit with your chemistry in the O-line room. And if you were to make a move like that. But, you know, Warford, to me, is just a better football player. I think that it just bears it out by looking at him and watching him play and seeing what he's been able to do over an extended period of time. So if they were to make that deal, that would improve their offensive line. I don't want to say I would be surprised if they would do it, but it would be hard pressed for me to see a scenario where you do have Warford here, but then you also hold on and keep Kenny Stills, because and it might throw you off on a tangent here, but Larry Warford, if you bring him in here, to me, what you're saying is, all right, we're going to base what we do in our offense around Deshaun Watson, of course, but David Johnson. Mm. We're going to do a ton with our running backs. We're going to run the ball a lot. We're going to base everything off of that, and then and kill you with the pass game, because we have all these fast jitterbug receivers that can make plays all over the place. But if you're going to put that investment into Larry Warford and you're going to utilize David Johnson so much, then there's only a certain amount of formations and balls to go around. So to me, it's almost like a decision between the two. If they ride with Kenny Stills and he's still on his roster, I don't think that they would bring in Larry Wolford. Because if you keep Kenny Stills, to me, I think you're throwing the ball to your receivers more as a group. You're going to do more four wide, and that's just kind of how I'm seeing things shake out.
Wade, when you look at I love what you just said, man. We had a full segment yesterday about that because it just dawned on me. I knew the offensive line had a chance to be really good, but you start looking at David Johnson. We all still throw in there. Wade, you and I have had lengthy conversations about, you know, using Deshaun Watson more in the run game. And the more I think about it, Wade, if they are to do that, and I know I agree with you from a scheme standpoint, it's not the old zone scheme where you just dominate and you've got a zone back that can do. It's a different approach with the 11 personnel, with the shotgun formation. But, boy, really being a really good run football team, that makes things so much easier for the quarterback. And so when you add into that, Deshaun Watson's got to develop, and how do you do that? You give him easier looks. It sure seems to me like the smart thing for Bill O'Brien and Tim Kelly and the Texans to do is to really put an emphasis on running the rock and running the rock dominantly, considering you're paying that back $10 million a year.
Well, you got to think about it. Look at that. That's a very important that you mentioned that he's getting paid $10 million a year. You want to get as much value out of him as you can. But just think about where Larry Wolford is coming from. He would be coming from the New Orleans Saints. New Orleans Saints, look at their running back situation over the past 3-4 years. You had Ingram and you had Kamara, you know what I mean? And those are two big time running backs that took up a lot of carries and catches, and they were a huge focal point in that offense. And in that offense is very similar to the Texans offense when it comes to terminology, when it comes to like that comes from that same tree that Parcells tree, you know, you have to go a little bit farther up the tree. And so there's some similarities there. And now you got Brandon Cooks, who started off in that type of offense, coming here. But, you know, like I said, when you have Larry Warford and you put him in this offense, I think you emphasize more that running back and that running game. It opens everything else up. People don't think about the New Orleans Saints unless you're really a Saints fan and think to yourself, they got a hell of a run game. But they do, and it helps open up everything. The New Orleans Saints don't have the receiving core that the Texans have right now. So it'll be interesting to see. I think it'll be one or the other. I mean, if Larry Warford ends up on this roster, it would be hard for me to believe that Kenny Stills would stay. And it's kind of sucks because Kenny Stills is a hell of a football player, but I just don't. I'm trying to figure out where is the place for him. You got four legitimate receivers, but you're going to spend a lot of time, like you mentioned, Clinton, and 11 personnel. You're going to have three wide receivers on the field. You're going to have people just sitting on the bench. And to me, that just wouldn't make sense.
Wade Smith, thank you so much for joining us. I'll be honest with you, you just blew my mind for about the last 3.5 minutes. I think we need to get into this, but man, thank you so much for joining us. Have a good one.
It's always real, fellas.
All right, Clint, we got to talk about this. Hold on. Does Larry Warford make Kenny Stills expendable? That is he's making a lot of sense. We got to discuss that coming up next. Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Hughley, and Clint, man, that was Wade Smith dropped one on us because I've never thought of it. I understand his point. I'm not sure if I'm on board yet. We just had Wade Smith on, and he said the thought of getting Larry Warford to him means that Kenny Stills would be expendable, and the thought being, Clint, is because, hey, you bring him in, now you're putting even more emphasis on the run game, which David Johnson, you traded, it was a part of the DeAndre Hopkins trade, and is the fourth highest paid running back in football, Clint. Where you at on that? You think that means Kenny Stills should be someone that could be a piece to move if they got Larry Warford?
Yeah, well, I think Kenny Stills could be a piece to move regardless anyway, if the right situation, you know, surfaces. I don't think that it's, you know, from a financial standpoint in any way, shape, or form that would be the case. But what Smitty was saying, I think, is a sense of you can't have a $7 million number four receiver and focus on the run. That don't all add up, right? That formula there doesn't necessarily. It may equate to winning football games, but the one thing that you know is that it doesn't equate to the best roster that you can put on paper based on what it is that you want to do offensively. So I completely agree with him there from a stance of you can't have a four-string wide receiver making $7 million a year if you're going to turn around and hand it to your back and really be a run-dominant football team. That wouldn't be the best use of the salary cap that you have at your fingertips. Now, I think you throw into that equation that every one of your starters, if you're going to spend a lot of time in 11 personnel, which is three receivers, one tight end, one running back, and every one of your starters has had has been injury prone in their recent history.
That's the other part of it, yeah.
Is that safety net worth keeping around, even though you are going to focus on the run? You know, I don't know, but I definitely see where Smitty was coming from in terms of it's hard to think that you're going to really focus on the run the way that you need to have a run first identity if you're going to be paying a number four receiver $7 million a year.
Yeah, I would. This was hard for me, Clint, because I'm gonna have to really shake my thoughts from. I am so intrigued of what this offense could be because of those four receivers, and the amount of weapons that you would have at your disposal, whether that's David Johnson is the back or not. Like that has been the real intriguing part, and a way in my mind that I could see. All right, this receiving core overall, because of the depth, can be better than it was last year. And everything he says has value and meaning for it. It is, one, I'd like to know, all right, you're releasing $7 million, so what would that go to attack? And two, what would you get? Because I'm just saying, Clint, if let's say, you know, the Packers need a wide receiver. Let's say the Packers say, man, we'll give you a fifth for Kenny Stills. Like,
I'm out on that deal.
You know what I mean? Does that outweigh, like, what he could mean? And you just brought it up with the injury stuff, because we know all three of their top three receivers have been injury prone. Is that enough? Because, all right, yeah, you'd be saving $7 million in some way because he doesn't have any dead cap, but you'd be portrayed as a fifth-round pick, held as a fourth-round pick. Like,
Man,
you already got two of those.
Tough. It would be given the circumstances, it would be really tough. I mean, if we're just throwing, you know, thoughts out there in terms of who would you trade Kenny Stills for, you know, a third or fourth, or you know, just throwing those scenarios out there. And I think if you're just from a talent standpoint and how much you're going to be able to use him, then it may or may not make sense. But when you really look at what the Texans have in a sense of, man, there's a high likelihood that one of those three receivers is going to go down. I mean, and probably early and probably for an extended period of time. And when that's the case, to be able to plug Kenny Stills in right then would be huge, man. So I would pay the extra premium for the insurance policy. I would pay the extra premium, you know, just to have Stills to push the other guys. Like, y'all slip up if y'all want to. Y'all get in the streets too much if you want to, but Kenny Stills is going to be nipping at your tails to get playing time. So I'm not saying that those are any concerns of the Texans at this point in time, but if you've got a Kenny Steeles back there keeping guys honest and keeping guys grinding, it's not a bad thing considering the injury history. And look, I don't know that it wouldn't be a really good idea to be able to spread defenses out in 10 personnel, right, and run the football.
I
10 personnel being
yes.
one back, no tight ends, four wideouts. You know, to have the luxury to go that route doesn't mean that you can't still run the football dominantly, between the tackles.
Because what is the defense going to put out there? They're probably going to take a linebacker out.
You would have to. Yeah, you would have to at least go nickel, and with those four receivers that the Texans could run out there, if you go nickel, you got to – even if you just go nickel and you bring one linebacker out and bring a DB in, so you bring your third-best cover guy, corner, you bring him in, now you got to keep two safeties on the roof, right? I mean, so now you got a mismatch with the other – one of the slot receivers and a linebacker. So what do you do with that guy? Do you bring a safety off the roof and all of a sudden now you're in man defense versus all this speed? Or do you leave a safety back and bring in a dime defender? Now you've got a defense into a position where they've got four cover defenders and two safeties. You got six DBs on the field. You don't think that this offensive line would and David Johnson would love to eat versus four down and a middle linebacker?
Yeah. With Larry Warford.
With Deshaun Watson as an option in a run game?
Yeah.
I mean, you're really – again, you really at that point in time you have so many weapons if that Tim Kelly offensive coordinator position is right. Boy, you could attack some teams. Again, you could attack some teams in a way that you dictate what the hell they do. That's what we're talking about right now, show, is precisely the frustration with me about the game plan offense. Like when you go into a game and say, we're gonna line up and we're just gonna adjust however the defense, whatever the defense wants to do, and then we'll adjust accordingly.
That's
instead
so
of going into it and we're gonna punch you in the mouth, you better learn how to stop my jab or you're gonna eat it all day long. And if you do stop my jab, I'm gonna counter you and I'm gonna keep being aggressive with you. I'm gonna back you into a corner. The Texans have the personnel to go, you know what? This team right here really doesn't have a number two corner that's worth a damn. Let's see if we can't get to their third and fourth corner by going 10 personnel, throwing four wide receivers out there. Doesn't mean we have to go nuts and throw the ball over the park and throw the ball 50 times. But let's get that personnel on the field, and now we can run it downhill. We got good, clean pictures for Deshaun Watson. And if they do get into some kind of man defense, we got four options to torch them. The Texans have options from a personnel standpoint right now offensively that are just – the options are as plenty as any team in the league when you talk about can they go 12 personnel? Yep. Can they go 10 personnel? Yep. Can they go 11? Yep. They can be good in all of those personnels where not every team can say that.
Yeah, the game plan offense, I mean, kudos to the Patriots and Brady and them. They did what it is they did. But I don't like that because now that means your game plan is dictated by what defense is played. And if I were a defensive coordinator, I would just continue to put myself in positions where that Deshaun Watson is used at less. Like essentially, if you're doing a game plan offense, you could go into a game plan where you're not ever using Deshaun Watson's big strengths because the other team's game plan is causing you to do other things. And that's silly to me. That should be the game plan, using your best player's strengths and putting them in the situation to do their best.
There's no doubt about it that a defense can come in versus the Texans and can say, okay, we know if we do this right here, they're going to try to attack this way. So what you do is you can take Deshaun Watson's feet completely out of the game. I'm not talking about all the runaround, the runaround hero ball, put Superman cape on and go win the game. Good luck. You ain't stopping that. Good luck if it gets to that point. You just hope you got a big enough lead to where he can't come back. But I'm talking about There's no doubt about it. Defensive coordinators know that when you come into a game versus Deshaun Watson, if you play certain coverages and give them certain looks, it's going to be a pocket pass. It's going to be a pocket pass. And that's one of those things where, all right, that's not all the time, but a high percentage of the time, that's what you're going to get. And again, when you got a guy like Deshaun Watson, it should be you dictating the game, not the defense dictating the game.
No, I don't know, man. My mindset, Clint, if this makes any sense, when I look at the Texans, my thought is, all right, this is a group that its goal should be trying to get to the AFC Championship game. And I've said it earlier in the offseason where I said, for me, where the Texans are, I would view it as a disappointment because if they don't get to the AFC Championship game, because they have been talking about, let's get to the next step, let's get to the next step. Well, that's the next step. And if you don't reach that next step, to me, that's a disappointment. So,
yeah, but what if this happens, Sho? What if this happens? This is what, and I wanted to ask you this the other day when this came up. What if he goes out there and goes 14-2 and wins the MVP and gets beat in the second round after a bye? Are you mad at the Texans organization? Or are you good with that?
Oh, I think it's a disappointment. I'm not saying anybody gets fired at 14-2. You're basically saying if they just do exactly what the Ravens did.
Yeah. So if they put a very convincing product on the field consistently throughout the season, and then they get a bye. And then, or they don't. Let's say they win in the first round, and then they get to the second round, and they run into Kansas City, who's looks like they're going to be the next New England for the next 10 years. I mean, and they get beat, or they run into Baltimore, and you got last year's MVP who went 14-2, and you have a dog fight, and they end up beating you. Are you disappointed in the Texans?
Yes. Yeah. The next step. Yeah. Now you can be disappointed, and say, do I feel better about the team before the season started? Yeah. I'd feel better if Deshaun Watson won an MVP, which I'm predicting. I would feel better. I would feel better about the team. And if they went 14-2, and in that 14-2 with their schedule, that means they would have beaten some really good football teams. Because if they only lose two games, they had to have beaten some really good football teams. I'd feel better. But the goal is let's get to the next step. And the next step is the AFC Championship game. And then, Clint, I'll tell you, I'd be even more disappointed if they were 14-2 and they came out of a bye. Or you're right, there's only one bye. If they lost and didn't get to the AFC Championship game at 14-2, I'd be even more disappointed because the team was better. But don't mean I think Bill should get fired or anybody should get fired. It's just like, hey, you didn't reach the goal, so it is disappointing. Eric's just – I know we got to hit it, man, but I do want to touch this part first because, like, if you're all into the AFC Championship game, it's why I have a hard time with the thought of bringing in Larry Warford means getting rid of Kenny Stills. We'll get into that coming up next. All right, Clint, man, let me jump here, man. It is hard for me to make the move. You missed it. Wade Smith put out a really thoughtful scenario of with how this team would be constructed. If you go and get a Larry Warford, which the Texans have been linked to, our own guy, General John McClain,
who's with
us in the 4 o'clock hour, each and every Friday, he'll be with this Friday, has said they're still connected to him, that you would have to think about letting go of Kenny Stills because this would be a team where the emphasis would be more on the run game with David Johnson, and you'd now be paying $7 million to a fourth receiver. And that, man, that makes a whole hell of a lot of sense when he says it. My only thought to that, Clint, would be is, as I said, man, the expectations that I have, now if they don't get, I personally not going to be disappointed, but that my expectation for the Texans, take the next step, get to the AFC Championship game. I think they have a talented team. I think this is the best offense they've had around Deshaun Watson. I think they can do that. All right, I like what Anthony Weaver's bringing to the table. I like their draft picks. I think that is the next step for them. And if they don't reach it, I would consider it a disappointing season. But with that theory and with the AFC Championship game in mind, Clint, my thought would be, well, just let's put the best damn thing we can put out there. All right, and if that means Kenny Stills at $7 million, because right now, let's say you get another $7 million, what are you going out there to spend that on that you know that's worth it, that you got to have, All right, Larry Warford would be a swap with Zach Fulton, so you're not losing any money there. Why not keep Larry Warford, get better at the guard, and then just be really great at the receivers? That's what Kansas City's doing. They didn't cut any of those cats. They signed DeMarcus Robinson as their fourth receiver. Sammy's back. Mecole Hardman they drafted, obviously a half heel. Like, you can bring all those jokers back. I just don't know what you would spend the $7 million or what you would get in return for Kenny Stills that would be worth it to not put the absolute best that you can out there.
Yeah, I think from the only reason you would ever get rid of Kenny Stills at this point in time from a financial standpoint is if you could add the safety that they're looking for. If for whatever reasons you have to include him in a trade, or if from a cap standpoint – You it's a decision between Kenny Stills and a safety that becomes available that you think takes your team to the next level. I think that would be the only way that Kenny Stills moves on from the Texans. I personally agree with what you just said in a sense of bring Warford in, run the rock if you want to, do whatever you want to do, but keep, given the issues at the receiver position, it's blatantly obvious that the insurance policy, the Texans should be paying more for insurance than the other teams in this league. I mean, that's like if my house burnt down three times, damn it, my insurance policy is going to be a lot higher than yours. You know, I mean, the insurance company's going to look at me a little different. My insurance policy is going to cost probably three, four times what yours costs. Well, and they're probably going to investigate me too, by the way, but I'm not into burning down homes. But nonetheless, the Texans' history of receivers getting injured, and then the two pieces that they added, also with their history, recent history of being injured, that tells you that the Texans, the smart decision for the Texans is to pay that little bit of extra money to make sure that insurance is there in case something goes wrong throughout the season with one of your frontline starters. So, I'm with you on that, man. I'm with you on that. I'm not moving. I can't get down with moving Kenny Stills unless the piece that comes in return is a true difference maker immediately. Plug and play, difference maker, leader, established player.
Yeah, Wade's making a lot of sense with what he's saying. Because you could theoretically see if they're playing 11 personnel, you're just having a guy making $7 million sitting over there. I just, man, you're right. If Eric Weddle was out of retirement and you said, all right, that's what we're going to use that $7 million we're paying him on. All right, okay, bring that guy in as a safety. All right, I can deal with. I could get that. That one makes sense to me. This one's just like, we're bringing in a guard, so we're going to get rid of our receiver depth that really makes this offense something that I think could be special, having those four speed guys on the outside. That one.
Well, yeah, I think he was speaking more to the sense of what's the identity. If the identity is going to be run the rock, then it doesn't make sense to pay $7 million for a backup receiver. That's just the I think the logical way to look at building an offense if you are indeed going to do that. So logically and theoretically, it makes sense. But, yeah, I'm with you in a sense of man, you got to keep that insurance policy, man. You got to keep that insurance policy.
And I'm with him. Like, he loves that group up front. And if you were to add a Larry Warford, I mean, that would take that group up to another level. And it's probably – I'd say potentially the number one reason why Deshaun Watson can have a breakout year and why you feel like Deshaun Watson could take his game to the next level. Tim Kelly talked and spoke to this a little bit more about what the big reason could be for a breakout season for Deshaun Watson. Because multiple times Tim Kelly spoke about, hey, this offensive line, Clint, they're coming back, man. They got five starters coming back.
We've been here. So, that position especially, there's a lot of chemistry that goes into playing that position, of playing next to one another, how certain people are going to handle certain blocks and how it's going to feel and the different responses and reactions that you'll get. And I'm sure Coach Dev will be able to get into that, in depth with you if you'd like. But having all five of those guys back is vital.
Yeah, I mean, and it is huge, and it builds exactly the number one thing in front of Deshaun Watson that I think is probably the reason why I've said I think you could see a real breakout season is because you've got stability and you have good stability in front of them.
Yeah, when you look at it, the foundation is potentially going to be the offensive line. And I think that's, as Smitty said in a couple of segments ago, you talk about the great run teams and ultimately teams that were borderline, either dynasties or borderline dynasties, and ran the football really well, protected the quarterback really well, ultimately won a bunch of football games. Then the offensive line was the foundation. And I think that's the point here, is that when Tim Kelly talks about all five starters being back, when he talks about, you know, all of these guys getting a training camp together, getting an offseason together, the thought of the offensive line for the Houston Texans being the foundation is a real thought. I think in the years past, that's been an afterthought. Like, no way in hell are we even going to discuss that. When you look at it right now, the offensive line, being the foundation of this offense – is a real possibility. And what that means to Deshaun Watson is just absolutely huge, man. I mean, when you look at Deshaun Watson's career up to this point, although it's been short, you know, you look at it from a health standpoint. Deshaun Watson, obviously, he blew his knee up and one off season, I believe it was going into the 2018 season, he literally spent more time with J.J. Watt than he did his offensive line and his receivers and focusing on his game in particular. So from a health standpoint, when your quarterback is healthy enough to not be in the training room in the offseason and not be in the training room every single night during the season because he's getting the hell beat out of him, what does that mean? That means that he can spend more time with Laremy Tunsil. Show, you and I have done segments on segments about Laremy Tunsil and Deshaun Watson working out 4 days together this week. I mean, this offseason. 4 days a week they're working out. Before 2018, he was working out 4 days a week with J.J. Watt because they were both recovering and in rehab from some kind of surgery. So the offensive line being a foundation, protecting Watson, keeping him healthy, is going to allow him to build the bonds and the relationships with the offensive line that's necessary, with the new receiving core that's necessary, with the new running back that is necessary. You got to have time to be able to do that. And if you're spending less time in the training room, then you can obviously spend more time with your guys out grabbing dinner, having drinks, hanging out at the shake joint if that's what you want to do.
Why not? Right?
Matt, why not? Why not?
You have a good time.
Whatever it is you do with the fellas, then you've got time to go do it. And with this offensive line, Deshaun Watson should be healthier now, and he should be healthier moving forward, which you would think would allow him to do things that would separate the offense in terms of the bond that they can build, the chemistry that they can create. Not to mention, show the simple fact that, hell, the obvious reason, right, from a health standpoint, if he spends less time on his back in the game, no more kicks in the eye, no more bus trips to Jacksonville with collapsed lungs or whatever the hell happened, no more of that. So obviously the on-the-field stuff, and him being able to stay healthy on the field and be comfortable in the pocket, that's a big time part of the offensive line if they can establish himself as a foundational piece of this offense as well.
See, that's interesting because my thinking of this, Clint, and this just shows where our minds. I'm just somebody who sit down and watch the game. You somebody who's played the game at the highest level. In my mind, my thought would be, God, if he can get out of the training room, they can just really get an understanding of what Tom Brady is out here doing. You know,
absolutely
getting snaps and throwing it. But for you, it's not like you're saying it's just, you look at it and say, man, he's missing time just with the just getting together with the guys and building that type of relationship as much as he's missing time with being on the field and getting the snap count together and getting all of that stuff. You're saying just the time spending with the boys is as important as all that other stuff.
Absolutely, man. So I tell you what, man, I became the starter in 97 at Arkansas, and I knew the guys. They didn't know what kind of player I was, and I got my ass kicked in 97. But I spent a lot of time in the training room. But in that offseason, I really spent a ton of time with my guys, and the next year we were a very, very, very good offense in the SEC, which at the time had multiple national championship winners on either side, Tennessee and Florida on one side, along with Georgia, and then you got LSU, Auburn, Alabama on the other side. We were in the tops. We were up there with some of the best of them. And I'm telling you, the time that I was able to spend with my offensive linemen was absolutely critical, man. You call them cats right now, they take a bullet for me. And that's just the kind of bond that you can create if you're with them in off the field, not just on the field. Deshaun Watson's got to show an interest, which he does. He does instinctually. He does it genuinely and sincerely. When you show an interest in guys off the field and you golf with them, or you go to the movies, or you go to whatever wing joint it is where you kick it and watch sports and break bread, that stuff is extremely valuable. And Deshaun Watson, if he's healthy and not in the damn training room or not recovering from some kind of surgery, it'll allow him the time to do that.
Yeah, that's a key thing. Yeah, I just look at this group and I just think this is the thing that a lot of people, for whatever reason, they've used Bill O'Brien as a reasoning, and it's a legit reason. The coaching room as a legit reason that Deshaun Watson may not be able to develop in the way that we've heard Kurt Warner speak about earlier this week, Clint. But I would almost throw out the fact that this offensive line, and as you know so eloquently called it, the foundation has allowing him, this should be where I have confidence, where Deshaun takes another step in his development, because he's able to be able to develop with that offensive line. I think of your old teammate, Troy Aikman. That offensive line he was rolling with when he first got there in 89, when he got hit as many times as I believe you got hit in 97, probably more. And then when he started getting those guys in, the Nate Newtons, the Eric Williams, like he started getting those guys in, his ability to develop as a quarterback probably came easier. And I think that's a big thing in the development of Deshaun Watson, because he's got that foundation in front of him.
Yeah, so when you talk about the ability of a quarterback to get through a progression, which we've all agreed, you know, that's a big part of what Deshaun Watson needs to do. Hell, Kurt, as of late, we had multiple people on the show that have mentioned
that
it.
Boy, anoint fella that
that's
you
right.
call Benoit, he said it.
Benoit sounds so much cooler. But Kurt Warner, you know, he said less special and more routine. Well, the way that you do the more routine things, you make layups, you make free throws, you make set threes from behind the arc. The way you do that is if the offensive line keeps you clean. If the offensive line gives you the opportunity to get through your progression and find the receiver that's winning, you may have to get four deep in the progression to find that guy. Well, that takes time. And if this offensive line gets to a point where they're good enough to really be a foundational piece of this franchise, then Deshaun Watson will have the ability to do those things. And, I mean, if you don't want to stop at Kurt Warner, hell, you can go to Tim Kelly. He said he's got to get the ball to whoever's winning, got to distribute the ball to the open guy. The only way that happens, man, the only way Deshaun Watson develops is if this offensive line is able to protect him. There's no doubt that's a big piece of the puzzle as well.
Yeah, that's allow those weapons to flourish, and that is a big thing for Deshaun. So yeah, man, this foundation, it's and we talked to Smitty earlier. Maybe it's not as good as the line he was talking about in 2011 and 12, but this is easily. I don't think there's anything, and I know I ain't been here, but this is easy to look that this offensive line is better than any of the offensive lines that Bill O'Brien has had since he's been here, and the ability for them to be able to do all of those things that you talked about, from the offensive line to the quarterback, because they affect everybody. David Johnson, all of these things that we're talking about, we want to see Will Fuller be able to have a breakout season, and Brandon Cooks. All of that starts with that group, and it is the best group since they've been here, and we should see this team get better because of that group.
Yeah, I think it's something, show that needs to be kept a close eye on, man, because I think they got a chance, with or without Larry Warford. Obviously, Warford's a great player, and it's an improvement. But with or without him, I think this offensive line, as Smitty said, is plenty good enough to make hay. And, man, the weapons around the quarterback can flourish. The quarterback can develop. If this thing comes together up front and those guys are able to do, what they should be able to do, quite frankly, it could be a fun year for the Texans. Just being able to watch them up front and be able to have options, in a sense of the play caller for the Texans for a while has had to worry about, man, can we – I mean, even this year when Titus Howard went out, it was one of those like, man, can we protect the quarterback? I ain't sure we can call that play right there, because I don't know if we can block the defensive end coming off the right tackle. This should be a year where, man, the handcuffs, barring injury, the handcuffs should be off the quarterback, the handcuffs should be off the play caller, and big things should be expected.
Yeah, big things should be expected. Clint Sterner, Ron, the show Hughley here with you. This story will not die, Clint, about LeBron James. If you missed it earlier in the week, we talked about it briefly in 2011 when the lockout was happening in the NBA. There was thought he was offered a contract, I've heard since, from Jerry Jones to go play for the Cowboys. Many people are saying this now that their concern with LeBron is that he wouldn't be physical enough. He wouldn't be able to deal with the physicality of football, and that's why I don't think he would survive well in football. What's your thoughts on that? You think LeBron could have played coming 9 years since high school? He could have gotten in the league and played?
Well, somebody gave him a shot just to sell jerseys. I mean, ain't no doubt about that. Yeah. But Jerry would have fought him. Jerry would have overpaid him to sell a few jerseys. But, yeah, I mean, when I look at guys that out of the NBA, it's obviously a stretch to think that the physicality of the NFL wouldn't affect them. But there are a few guys, you know, I think the simple truth of the matter is the way that LeBron James is built would offer him an opportunity to fit in and play. I mean, he's an absolute monster. My thing with LeBron is more of what position, you know what I mean? At first I thought.
His body screams tight end.
Yeah, it screams tight end to me. I mean, the defensive end aspect of it is the first time a tight end or a running back chipped him and hit him in the ribs. I think he'd fold up like a tent, boy. But when you're, if he's a tight end and he was used in red zone type situations where he didn't have to get real physical and block in the box, and was used sparingly and used in a way that they could keep an eye on how physical the game would be for him, then I think he could be a killer tight end and a very, very good quarterback-friendly player in certain situations. I'd love to see it, man. I wish he would have done it after he won the championship in Cleveland. I wish he'd have done it then.
Yeah, I you know how I feel about LeBron. He is the greatest athlete to me in the world. But I don't think I could ride with him on this one. Like I think a lot of people look at him and think Jimmy Graham, right? Jimmy Graham played basketball in Miami, didn't play football at all in college, and then got into the league, and with Drew Brees and Sean Payton was dominant. Man, I know that I've seen him, and in his high school footage, he was a really good receiver. I just think it's a slap in the face to think he could go in there and just play a game he hasn't played for a decade. I have too much respect for football players and understanding the ins and outs of it. Even though I know some rookies do it, I know Antonio Gates came right from Kent State playing basketball and went and played football. I just know, man, it is hard for me to get over the fact of I understand how hard football is to think he could just jump in. I can't see that. We do this each and every day at this time. Coming up, 5 o'clock fire, the hottest stories in Houston coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.